Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
From the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Take the handoff, wide open, touchdown, Ryan Miller. Caliendo comes in, he's eligible. Here is Hunt for the touchdown. Kansas City remains unbeaten. 8-0. And a win in overtime. Take a look. Kareem Hunt got it rolling in this second half, and he put his head down and just drove his way into the end zone with Lavonte David right there for Tampa Bay.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It is the WEEI Afternoon Show. I'm Christian Arcan. That's Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. On a balmy day, a balmy Election Tuesday here in the Commonwealth. Hope you're staying cool out there. Hope you got out and voted if you're on your way over to do that right now or did it this morning. And any big news breaks, we'll certainly let you know. I don't think we'll be getting anything between 2 and 6 here, but you never know.
You mean trade-wise or election-wise?
Trade-wise, election-wise, anything-wise. By the way, we made an executive decision right before the show started, Andy, that we are going to continue playing the sounder from Jones and Keefe.
Yes.
Anytime it's a trade good. Is announced. And it's a good sounder. It's just that wrestler's song, right? I'm not a big wrestling guy, but it's just
John Cena.
I thought I heard glass breaking in the beginning. I thought that was Stone Cold.
Yeah, there's a little Stone Cold in there.
Oh, and so it's like a mixture of the two.
Yeah, and then it's got Jones and Keefe yelling.
It's like a mashup.
Yeah,
it's a little they're bit of a mashup. In it too? All right, fine.
I think they're in it, right? Isn't that when we... Oh, that's not them yelling at the beginning? Oh.
No.
We found a clean one. We can get the one of them yelling as well.
Oh, wait, that was live yelling?
I think that was live yelling.
That was them reacting to Marshawn Lattimore going to Washington.
Right.
I thought it was
yelling. They're excitable, those two. They're an excitable couple fellas, yeah.
I think it's because they're on drugs.
Oh, whoa.
Did you vote for drugs?
Did I vote for drugs?
Yeah.
Is that a nickname for one of the politicians?
No. Question number...
Oh, the psychedelic thing? Yes, I think so.
I voted no.
You said like no, it was against no me. On the
I'm hard old school.
No on the boomers?
Keep your drugs hidden in your closet. Only boomers I like are people like me.
Yeah. Those questions always get me.
I voted for the bar thing, I voted for the MCAT thing, and I voted for the mushroom thing. Yeah, those are the three questions I voted
for. Wait, what was the bar thing?
The server and the tips.
What we were talking about.
Oh, I voted no.
I went no, too.
I voted not to change it, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What, did you just skip the other ones?
Some of them, yeah. I didn't care about some of
them. Like auditing the Senate or something.
Yeah.
Separation of powers.
I had my issues that I went out there and I exercised my voice. And that's
he wants
it.
His drugs, damn it.
All you got to know. I don't want to need drugs, but I don't really see the problem.
Oh, you're not going to test the old psychedelic law?
I mean, any more than I already do? What, I don't need a law to tell me how
to party,
man.
Now you can grow them. Now you can grow them in a 12-foot by 12-foot plot in your backyard.
Is that right?
Perfect for you.
Well, there's going to be a lot of oak trees in my backyard with all these acorns, so I'll have a little mushroom plants in between them, I guess.
Get a clue, Hart.
About what?
Yeah,
why are they already mad? You bring up
what's
anything.
Happening?
I'm not allowed to have an opinion? You get a clue, McLight 12.
We also have the trade deadline today. Week 9 is in the books here in the NFL. I wonder if anyone's going to beat these Kansas City Chiefs. They remain undefeated with an overtime win last night in Monday Night Football. And I have a question, Andy. What is wrong? Why does the NFL suck this year? The NFL kind of sucks this year. And I don't necessarily mean like each game sucks or that the product on TV sucks. The teams suck. Most of the teams in the NFL this year suck. There's 9 teams. That's a third of the league. There's 9 teams who have 2 wins. More than half the teams are 500 or worse, and 15 teams are under 500. That seems, and I did a little bit of research here, that is about as bad as it's been in the last decade. Like, that's, at the halfway point in the season, this seems egregiously bad. There's way too many bad teams, way more so than there usually are.
So I feel like it's a perfect storm of incompetence to me. It feels like bunch of teams, you got this like circle of teams with bad coaches, this circle of teams with bad quarterbacks. Some of those overlap and, you know, concentric circles and have issues there. And then you lose some talent, right? Like, you look at a Tampa Bay team.
Yep.
Well, when you lose your two best receivers, who are both Pro Bowl caliber receivers, so injuries are chipping away in different places. I also think this isn't necessarily record-wise, but the whole penalties, we lump in there. We watch a lot of these primetime games, and all of a sudden there's 20-something penalties. You know, we talked to Jonathan Jones about it yesterday. And I think there are a bunch of different factors at play. I also think the way people are treating things, the dumbing down of offenses to get rookie quarterbacks ready. And we have great rookie quarterbacks. That's great. Like, we're enjoying some of that. But I don't know if it's best suited. You know, you don't have a lot of established coaches with established schemes and established quarterbacks. Like, how many of those are there? Really, how many of those where you'd say that team has a great coach, great scheme, great quarterback? Few and far. Kansas City.
There's Kansas City.
Damnedest thing. They're undefeated.
Weird. Yeah, there's not a lot of teams like that right now.
You know what I mean?
Not
even some of the good teams, I don't know that we're sold on, say, a newcomer like Darnold, O'Connell, the Vikings. What are they? Are they really good? Are we going to be or is Darnold kind of not going to end up being what he's been early on? San Francisco hasn't been it. They've had injuries. They've had issues there. Like, some of the Eagles are...
Eagles have been a big disappointment.
Infuriating, I think.
And they're, six and two. It's not like they're bad. But they've been disappointing. They're not number one in that division. Washington is right now. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot. You look around, and I think talent ends up winning out. Like, those are usually the teams where it rises to the top.
Coaching talent, too, though.
Coaching talent is
part of it. Because I feel like a lot of teams, if we went through team by team, hey, we got 4 hours, maybe we will.
Okay.
We could say bad quarterback, bad coach, right off the bat. One of the other we would think is bad, right?
Right.
And that right there, I think those are the two most important things in football, coach and quarterback.
Yeah.
And if we can check off 15, 20 of those teams that we think either the quarterback or the coach is bad, that would tell you why those teams are probably bad.
Yeah. You look at all the two-win teams, for example. The New York Giants, don't have the quarterback, don't have the coach. Patriots, we know. Have the quarterback, don't have anything else. Saints, fired their coach.
So bad coach.
I'm just doing the two-win teams here. Vegas, neither one. Jacksonville, neither one. Carolina, neither one. Cleveland, neither one. Miami, do they have the quarterback? I'd say yes.
I'm not sure.
And the coach,
and he missed time.
He did miss some time, so they didn't have him all year. But I think that they have the quarterback that they want. They have a franchise quarterback, and I think a pretty good coach. But they lost him for part of the year, so they're a two-win team. Tennessee, I'd say, has neither one. And that's it. Those are all the two-win teams right there, and they're all two wins for a reason.
And even the ones you're talking yourself into, let's say Tua, Mike McDaniel's a good example, because I think they're sort of similar to Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. A couple of years ago, they were all the rage.
Right.
Good young coach, good young quarterback to go into the Super Bowl. That's different. Like, back in the day,
in my day,
Tom Brady did it for 20 years. Peyton Manning did it for 20 years with Bill Belichick, with Tony Dungy, a Hall of Fame coach. You know, even some of the lesser teams, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Philip Rivers, there was consistency at the coaching position, quarterback position, sometimes both, that I just don't think we have. Even the good ones. Like, there's so few, and I know they've aged out. Bill Belichick's not in the league right now. Pete Carroll aged out. Some of that coaching stability. But I think that's, to me, it starts with the coach and the quarterback, and I just don't think there are very, and again, I don't think it's a coincidence, because I don't think the Chiefs are dominant. They just have a good coach and a good quarterback and find a way to win every week.
I think they have a dominant defense.
They have a very good... I'm not sure it's dominant. It might be 2024 dominant, which is, to me, lacking in the... They're not...
There's not a lot of dominant defenses this year.
They're not one of those old school, like, you can win a Super Bowl. No, but they don't make a ton of mistakes. And you gave them D-Hop, who's, like, tearing up that he's so excited that he's playing with Patrick Mahomes and becoming the go-to guy.
That was really nice of Tennessee to do that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Very nice. Hey, you know what, you guys? Seems like you're having a tough season. How about DeAndre Hopkins for not very much? How's that grab you?
Yeah, that was that could be the difference right there. Like, I think that's why they could go undefeated.
You know who has a dominant defense? The Chargers. And they're making some moves today. They're holding teams to like under 13 points a game. So you could say maybe this year they have a dominant defense.
But we'll see over the totality of the season. You know, we were joking yesterday. The Saints had a great offense for a couple weeks to start the year. They were putting up big points. They were talk of the town. Now you got Michael Thomas telling everybody that their quarterback is a dink. The coach is already fired. Like, it just goes south in a hurry because nobody has much cachet, stability, and I would say competence at the two most important spots.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I think the good teams this year are very good. The Detroit Lions, I think, are a very, very good team. I think the Chiefs are very good. They're in the middle of a dynasty right now. They made three-peat. Like, this is, you know, this could be historic stuff we see here with them. I think Buffalo's very good. I think Baltimore's very good. Who's another good team that's maybe... Pittsburgh's maybe one of those teams that you look at. And you say, well, how good are they really? And that's another team with a very good defense and an offense that's been kind of sloppy, but has been putting it together here this year. And they're a 6-win team, is the point. Texans, very good. And then in the NFC, I think Washington, we'll see about them. They're very good right now. I don't think there's any very good teams in the West. And I'm not really sure about the South either. I don't think the Falcons are a very good team. But those are two divisions right there without... And one very good team.
But that's the Falcons are a good example. They're fun. They have talent. They make plays. Hard to label them very good just because they have a first-year coach and a first-year quarterback.
Right.
Like, Kirk Cousins just arrived, and their coach just arrived. Who is it, Raheem Morris?
Yes.
I always struggle with some of these coaches. I forget who's coaching some of these
teams. I remember Raheem Morris just because of all the people going, I can't believe they took Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, but, like, that was the main
But is that
thing
a dominant
that stand
team?
Out. Even I'd
maybe,
say no, they're not at all.
And even one of the best teams in football, I think people are still hesitant for three reasons. The name of the team, the crazy coach, and the soft quarterback. Like, the Detroit Lions might be a great team.
Yep.
Might be. But I think everybody has a little bit of like, is Dan Campbell really a great coach? Is he going to lead them to the promised land? Is Jared Goff a great quarterback? And they're the Detroit Lions. Like, no one has ever seen them be winners. So it's hard to envision them being winners.
I know. It's hard to imagine the Detroit Lions finally being good. And they've had good players over the years, but they've never really been a great team. They're arguably, I know that Kansas City's undefeated. The Lions have the best point differential by like a good amount, by like 30 or 40 points. They're the best team in the league right now.
I'm kind of rooting for that Super Bowl. I know it's way early, but the old school Chiefs, like, we know who they are, what they are, how they're going to win versus the new school, and you got like legacy dynasty three-peat on the line against the ultimate never won a thing. And I also think Dan Campbell would be a hell of a lot of fun to watch during a Super Bowl week.
Oh, totally.
All hopped up on coffee for every media day and media session. And we still didn't get to the bottom of... They haven't made a trade yet, right?
The Lions?
When he was bouncing up and down, rubbing his boobs on the podium earlier in the week, last week?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I don't think they've really...
Steelers got Mike Williams today. The Commanders traded for Lattimore.
That's a good trade for them.
That's a great trade for them, I think.
I like him a lot.
They were looking for help there, too.
And they're trying to unload... what's his name? The Emmanuel Forbes from last year, who doesn't play a lick anymore.
The Cowboys traded for Jonathan Mingo, who I don't think is very good. They got a 4th-round pick for him.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. I always feel like the Cowboys overvalue trade acquisitions.
That could be.
Like, when they got Trey Lance, they gave up a decent amount for him, and I was like, is he ever going to play?
They gave up a 4th, I think, for Trey Lance, I think is what they did, yeah.
I know, when compared to 3 first-round picks isn't a lot, but I think people had decided he wasn't really an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it seemed like that. If you could get, and Mingo's young, I think, right? He's like 23, 24 or something along those lines. He's a young guy, but he's very unproven. He's not very good. He's buried on that...
He's 23. The
Panthers. Yeah, all right, 23. So he's 23 years old, can't get on the field in Carolina, which should be a red enough flag right there. And they were willing to fork over a 4th, and I think they got a 7th is how that trade went down. So if you care about the pick swap, it doesn't matter. If the Patriots could have packaged Kendrick Bourne and a 7th to get a 4th-round pick back, I'd say they made out pretty good right there.
Oh, I would
do
that in a heartbeat.
And is Kendrick Bourne better than Jonathan Mingo, or am I crazy?
Well, Mingo's younger, so you're buying on that upside, and... I don't know what people think Bourne is right now. I don't know if people watch him and say, he's not quite right. He's lost a step because of the ACL. He's not really he's not catching the ball very well. So Mingo has...
It's his second year?
12 catches for 121 yards this year.
Okay.
That's not exactly impressive. His highest catch total is 3 in a game. He's got no touchdowns. Yeah, he caught 43 passes as a rookie a year ago.
He was a 2nd-round pick in 2023.
Yeah, I don't. I just think that's a young upside, and maybe the Cowboys
second round pick
him.
Who kind of stinks. That has Patriot written all over him. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, he'll be a Dallas Cowboy instead. Interesting how the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh yeah, the Lions did get Za'Darius Smith. That's
oh, they, yeah, they did. They did that this
I
morning.
Bet you that's who he
right.
was rubbing his chest about.
Okay, yeah. And he's going to be the
That's
Hutchinson
excitable.
Replacement.
That's exciting. That's good for them and Definitely. The Hutchinson, the whole. Yeah, absolutely. That's
I forgot about
why.
That. Very good call. Thank you, Texter. The Mingo thing just has me wondering what you could get for KJ Osborne, what you might be able to get for Kendrick Bourne if there's a run on wide receivers. This could just be an instance of Jerry Jones saying, hey, we need something here. I don't feel like going big with Cooper or Devontae Adams or any of the big names out there, so let's take a flyer on a second-year guy in a bad situation, which if that's the case, Jerry, get on the phone with Elliott because we got a bunch of those guys. Second-round picks who didn't pan out. We got Tyquan Thornton. We got Jalen Polk. We got lots of guys like that right here, ready to move to Dallas in a heartbeat. You can take them right now. Take them off our hands, and we'll take a fourth-round pick, a fifth. I'd even go, sixth, for KJ Osborne, seventh. I'd be happy with a sixth.
I'd take anything for KJ Osborne.
Seriously.
The younger ones, though, the second-round picks, the third-round picks, if you could get somebody a Thornton, because I do believe, and I've talked to people in the league about this, and they think it is true, there is this thing where teams still see sometimes the guy that they evaluated before the draft, not the guy that's been in the league, and they say, the Patriots didn't use him right. We mm-hmm. liked him coming out of Tyquan Thornton. We liked him coming out of college.
Right.
They didn't use him right. We'll use him right. They may like him more than his career production in the NFL states, whereas Kendrick Bourne and KJ Osborne kind of are what they are at this point in their careers. I don't know that anybody's trading for them based on what they thought of them 5 years ago, 7 years ago, coming out of college. They are borderline journeyman veterans at this point mm-hmm. in their career.
Yep.
So I do think sometimes you can snooker a younger bust into those teams believing, change of scenery. He'll be better with us. We liked him.
Yeah. The Bengals traded for a running back. They grabbed Khalil Herbert from the Chicago Bears for like a seventh-round pick. Za'Darius Smith, as someone pointed out, that was a trade with the Cleveland Browns. Smith and a seventh-round pick go to the Lions for a fifth and a sixth. And yes, you're right. Dan Campbell was pleasuring himself to the idea trade. That's what he was doing.
He was jumping up and down and,
rubbing his nips. That's his form of pleasure. Okay. It seemed like he was deriving pleasure from
it. I don't know what we're
doing
here.
Did he not seem to be enjoying himself?
That phrase has a meaning.
I know what it means.
His hands were above board.
Sure. Doesn't mean there wasn't pleasure. Anyway.
He was being forget it.
That's true. The NFL kind of sucks right now. Week 9 is in the books. We're past the halfway point right now, and we're not sure if anyone's going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Is that something you consider realistic now still? 8 games in. They got 9 more to go. Can the Kansas City Chiefs do it this year?
Can they? Absolutely. Will they? I'm still dubious because I feel like they've been on the brink of losing a lot of games.
I mean, that's how they win all their games.
I know. And I just think that's a dangerous way to play. That's one deflected interception. Now, they got the scare of their lives yesterday on that, I don't even know what was it, a hyperextended knee or whatever happened to Patrick Mahomes when he had that weird plant. But I just think too fine a line. They're playing too close a call to go undefeated. That doesn't mean they can't win the title.
They beat the Saints by 13. They beat the Niners by 10. And every other game has been a one-score game.
Yeah.
Every other win's been a one-score game.
But I also think they have ultimate confidence in their scheme, their coaching staff, their defense, their quarterback. They're very comfortable, I think, in those situations, which would be a good argument for you for why you go for two and don't get in that situation, because you really want to go head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes in overtime?
That's
how about
exactly,
you just end it?
Exactly right. And that's another one right there. That's an instance where I would have done it, and I don't think that it's really all that tough to explain. You have to take into account lots of things. You take into account momentum. You take into account the time of the game that it is. You take into account who's on the other side right there.
Yep.
The only argument you can make is that, well, if you win the toss and you get the ball, you did just go down the field and score on them. You get the ball back. You can score again. Mahomes may not even touch it. You could, if you win the toss, you could be in a situation where Mahomes doesn't even touch the ball. And that's, at the very least, worth considering. But that's
if I get a 2-point conversion, I also win a game without Mahomes
right
touching the ball.
Absolutely. It's over right then. It's sort of like one bet versus a parlay. You know what I mean? Like, the one bet, it's the 50-50 on the 2-yard line, and there it is. The parlay is you got to win the toss, and then you got to score, and you got to do that, and Mahomes can't touch the ball. Like, that's like winning 3 different bets
and
instead of just the one.
And you saw Baker Mayfield on the coin toss. He thought it was
he
over.
Knew it. He knew
as soon
it right
as the coin
then.
Toss went the other way, he was like, this is over. We lost. was the opposite of the Hasselbeck back in the day. We're going to take the ball. We're going to win.
Yep. We're going to get the ball. We're going to score. No, no.
Baker Mayfield was thinking, they're going to take the ball and they're going to win.
And wouldn't you know it,
it's how it worked.
Absolutely did. 617-779-7937. We got a packed show for you today. We'll be talking with Ross Tucker here in about 10 minutes. Odyssey NFL Insider. We'll get his thoughts here on the trade deadline as well as week 9 in the books. The Kansas City Chiefs, what's wrong with the NFL and the future here for the Patriots going forward with this dreadful roster around Drake May. That's coming up at 2:30. We'll get to the Celtics in the 3 o'clock hour. A little Bruins for you as well. And we're actually going to do some Red Sox talk today. We haven't done that in a while. We've barely talked Red Sox at all since the season ended. Even, you know, just we were throwing in some Red Sox jabs during the playoffs and the World Series, really. But we haven't talked that much about the actual team. They did something yesterday that we barely got to because it was all Drake May all day long. But they extended a qualifying offer to Nick Pivetta. And it's a very large qualifying offer, and we do have to talk about that. We have to talk about this entire offseason, and we will also keep an eye on the trade deadline ticker here, as we are hoping, both you and I, that the Patriots do make moves. I actually put a poll out, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Right now, here's Stiz to tell you what's trending, and when we come back, it's Ross Tucker from Odyssey. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Yeah, I think there's no step I can take leadership-wise, and I got to go make some plays and kind of be smarter with the football. I think that will go a long way and kind of earn the guys' trust and respect, but I think I got respect in that locker room with those guys and kind of earn it throughout the year and kind of can make the next step in being so vocal and do little things with teammates to kind of be that quarterback leader that everybody wants.
That was Drake May with us yesterday talking about getting the respect in the locker room from his teammates after 3 starts. And here to talk about that, the trade deadline, and a kind of down season in the NFL, at least record-wise, is our good friend, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Ross Tucker, how we doing today?
Good. What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing well. We talked with Drake May yesterday, and I do want to get your thoughts on him and where he is after that great finish. But first, I want to ask you, Ross, if you agree with me that the NFL kind of sucks this year. There's all these 2-win teams. There's like 9 2-win teams. Half the league's under 500. What's going on with this league? Why does it seem like there's so many bad teams?
Yeah. I mean, I think I counted this morning. We do, you guys might know, but I do the power rankings on the Ross Tucker podcast on Tuesday. I think is it 9 or 10 teams that have 2 wins or less?
9.
It is crazy. That,
unbelievable.
That is just so unusual. I mean, we're in week 10, and there's 9 teams that only have 2 wins. It's kind of bananas. And, you know, I call the 6th game for CBS each week, right? I'm part of the 6 crew.
Yeah.
So I guess the best way I would describe it is I'm very well aware of the situation because
your boots
I'm
on the ground.
I'm always looking ahead to what my game's going to be, and there's usually a matchup between 2 of these teams. I'm like, okay, that's probably me. You know, that's probably the one I'm doing. And the thing that's a bummer about it for everybody, right, is that if instead of being 2-7, if you're just 3-6 or 3-5 or you're 4-5, you know, as long as you're close to 500, and I remember this as a player, right? 500 or above, you felt like you were right there in the mix. Below 500, you kind of felt like, okay, we should get back to 500, and then we got a shot at this thing. When you start to look, when you're in November with two wins, and you're like 2-6, 2-7, whatever, you know that 500's a long way away. I mean, there's a lot of fan bases already that kind of feel like their teams are out of it, and that's unusual. You know, that's very much an issue in December in the NFL, but, man, not usually the first games in November. I mean, it's kind of getting ugly. I don't know that I can really put my finger on it as to why that it's like that this year. It just seems like these teams – but then, like, listen, I say that, and the Patriots, you know, they beat the Jets and Bengals. I guess neither one of those teams have great records either, but at least we think that they're better. We think that they're pretty good, and the Patriots were able to find ways to beat them. The last game I did for CBS, the Browns beat the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens might be like one of the two or three best teams in the NFL, and the Browns beat them. So those things can still happen. It just doesn't seem like as much or as often this year as it normally is.
So we are in New England following one of those two-win teams that we're excited about because obviously we've seen what Drake May has done with some highlight plays, and none was cooler, I guess, than the game-ending or game tying
regulation ending
touchdown that took 12 seconds, and we all saw it. It was great. Everybody's excited about Drake May. I'm wondering, as a lineman, did you watch that play with any interest as to what the linemen were doing? Because I thought it was kind of remarkable. No one held. No one was downfield. Now, Michael Jordan, the left guard, didn't hold or get downfield.
Didn't touch anybody.
Because he just hopped around and didn't touch anybody the whole time.
Anyone. It was 12 seconds. He didn't touch a single player.
Did you have like a lineman's view of that play that might be a little different than the rest of us?
I get a lot of views of that play. the first view is that on the Even Money Betting Podcast, I had the Patriots plus 3.5.
Yep.
So Drake May is my hero. So view number one was that was incredible. Thank you, Drake May. And then I really wanted Mayo to go for two for a bunch of different reasons.
Yep.
And we should talk about that because I thought that was a poor choice by Gerard. And then from a lineman's perspective, well, first of all, what's interesting to me about it is that it felt like the Titans were very intent on keeping him in the pocket and not letting him scramble,
right?
You know, get outside the pocket. And I think that they overdid it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they were too focused on that because it seemed like you guys talk about Michael Jordan just standing there. There was kind of D linemen that were more or less just hopping around too. You know, I mean, there was D linemen. There was one or two guys trying to get him, but the rest of them, it looked like they were either dog tired or they were just trying to keep him in the pocket. So that's kind of one thing that jumped out to me. You are right that the longer a quarterback holds the ball, the greater the likelihood of a holding call. The flip side of that is, man, those refs really don't want to call holding on the last play of the game.
Right.
You know, they really don't on anybody. You know, like the DB, the O-line, on anybody. So you can't be egregious about it, but that's a situation where I'm confident Belichick would tell people, hey, you can be a little bit more aggressive than you normally would be. But, yeah, that was a tremendous play. You know, I know I'm not the first guy to say this, but, man, I get a lot of Josh Allen when I watch Drake May play.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Josh Allen. I'm not saying he's him or he'll be him or he's as good as him or any of them, but, like, they just kind of remind me of each other with some of the plays they make, some of the throws they make, their style of play. I mean, right now it's like he's a poor man's Josh Allen. And what's interesting to me about that, obviously Josh made like huge improvement during his first couple years.
Right.
We know that. But I'd be curious to look at, you know, Drake's stats versus Josh's stats his rookie year. And I don't know, Christian or Andy, if you guys saw, but, you know, Greg Cosell comes on my show, the Raw Sucker Podcast, every week, and he's really been impressed with Drake May. I think the line that we posted on social media was, when you watch him, there's nothing on the tape on the All-22 that would scream rookie, right? There's nothing that would scream this guy's a rookie. And I was talking with somebody today that said they think he's actually been playing better than Caleb Williams has, which I wasn't expecting to hear. So anyway, I know that that's what you guys are excited about, and I think you should be.
We're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. I am excited, Ross. I mean, I think it's hard not to be, especially after that play. But I can't help but thinking after every one of these games, he does something impressive. The team loses by a score, two score, whatever it is, three scores to the Texans. And it just sort of hits me that as good as he is and as good as he looks, this team, as bad as it is, and the rest of the roster and the coaching staff, very inexperienced, I feel like has a real opportunity to drag him down. Is that a realistic fear to have here? Because I don't know if it's happening yet, but I feel like another year of this, or, you know, nine more games of the, whatever it is, it has this sort of grim, he's like a small glimmer of hope on like a deep, dark abyss of this Patriots team is what it seems like to me, Ross.
No, I think it's fair, because I would say I've seen it happen with young quarterbacks, especially guys, by the way, that like never lost in college, which is not the case with him, but with young quarterbacks that like the losing, the turnovers, the getting beat up, the sacks, it just kind of starts to wear on them. Ironically, I feel like I'm seeing it a little bit when I watch C.J. Stroud and the Texans. I mean, he has definitely taken a step back this year, in part because they can't protect him and he's getting the crap beat out of him. But I do think that's a very real thing. I would imagine, I mean, you guys probably know the numbers, but Patriots are stockpiled with picks and cap space. And you'd like to think most of their moves this offseason will be designed to feather the nest for Drake May, so to speak, on the offensive line and at receiver, to try to put him in as good a position as possible next year so he can get off to a good start and so they make progress. And honestly, I think they will. I mean, I really do. I think, you know, I don't know how many games they'll win this year, four or whatever. I would think after a full off season with those guys drafting and spending some of that money, that I don't think it's unrealistic to think 7-8 wins maybe the year after that. Now, we got to see what moves they make and if they pan out. And obviously, some of the moves they've made so far have not. But I think what you're saying, Christian, is a possibility. But I think getting a win over the Jets, you know, almost winning over the Titans, I think it's almost like anything else in life. As long as, like, every 3 or 4 weeks they get a win, they get the reward, then that can get him through another 3 or 4 weeks of losing. You know, like, oh yeah, we can do it. We're good. All right, good job. We got this. And then maybe there's a couple bad games again. Then it happens again, and he gets excited. You need those moments of feeling like you're making progress and you're getting the reward of the victory.
Ross, it feels like the Chiefs aren't exactly dominant, but they're undefeated and they're looking for a three-peat, looking to kind of make history in a number of ways here. Do you like their chances of A, going undefeated, or B, winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they will, because I just think there's a reason why it's never been done before. And I think that, you know, you think about all of the one-score playoff games that they've been a part of the last few years, and it feels like they've won, like, all of them. I mean, they got blown out by Brady and the Bucs in that one Super Bowl. And then in the one AFC Championship game, Mahomes threw the pick, they lost in overtime. But that's like the only one-score playoff game that they've lost. You know, they've won the rest of them. And I just don't think, no matter how good you are, and Mahomes is incredible, and they have an insane ability to make the play they need to make, or maybe conversely, not make the mistake that they can't make in those situations, at some point, they're not going to be batting like, you know, not going to be hitting 95% of those, right? Like, at some point, that has to come back
right
to the average a little bit. There has to be a little bit of a regression of the mean. And I would imagine that that happens this year. That said, you know, seems pretty likely that they'll have the number one seed and a bye. So what they're doing there is they're really minimizing the sample size. They really only have to win two home playoff games. to get to the Super Bowl again, and then obviously anything can happen there. So I think there's, I think they are very well positioned, because on some level it feels like the Bills and the Ravens aren't quite as good as they were last year, and the Chiefs keep finding a way, but somehow, some way, somebody will get hurt, or Mahomes will finally miss a throw, or somebody will drop it, and I think they'll lose one of those playoff games this year.
Okay, that is Ross Tucker. He is our Odyssey NFL insider, and he joins us every Tuesday. Thanks, Ross.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Ross. Ross Tucker joining us here on All the Calls are brought to you from him by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. If you missed any part of that interview with Ross Tucker, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Some interesting stuff there from Tucker for sure. I do want to talk about good quarterbacks who have been on bad teams over the years. I feel like you don't see it as much anymore. When I was growing up watching football, I feel like you saw it all the time. So we'll get to that, some historical comparisons to what Drake May could be right after this.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
Well, you're trying to go over to get somebody, you know, in your class, you know, especially another rookie. I think you want to come up on the winning side. So definitely, you know, any week is, you know, this is the most important week of the year because it's this week, and that's what Coach Mayo, what he stated in the team meeting, what he's preaching. So that's the big, that's the biggest thing. You know, I think the rookie matchup is it's cool. It's cool for the league. It's cool for me and Caleb. You know, we grew up and going to, you know, camps and seeing each other in high school and then in college and then now. So it's a pretty cool dynamic. But I think the biggest thing is coming out with the win.
Drake May discussing his matchup with another rookie quarterback this weekend. That would be Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Patriots and Bears, your next matchup there. Interestingly enough, our own young Brian back there, big Bears fan, thinks the Patriots have a legitimate shot in this game. I think the Bears are going to smoke the Patriots this weekend. He's shaking his head. The Patriots are the get-right game for bad team. Don't you, like, that's, have you not picked up on
that's
that?
That's what we were saying,
like,
about the Jets game a few weeks ago.
It's
look
true.
What happened there.
They did beat the Jets, but the Jets also smoked them. One of their only wins they had this year. I don't know.
But the Jets don't think they're a bad team. That's
right.
The problem.
The Titans do, though.
When two bad teams play, the Patriots usually give that team either the win or a chance to win, good chance. You know
right,
what I mean?
Sure. With the Titans,
the Jets,
with the Jaguars,
thought they were
the Dolphins, all
the
those
Jets
teams.
Thought it was a get-right game. The
yes.
Jets thought they were fixing their culture. The Jets thought they were better than the Patriots. They are not necessarily, but I don't know that they – this wasn't, you know, Miami had nothing, like, even though they should be better than the Patriots. We went – what are we in? This feels like week five of bad football.
Does sort of seem that way.
We right? don't even get to see a good team on the opposing side.
Right.
Like, that's kind of, that kind of, I guess, makes your point earlier, but there's a lot of bad football teams out there, and ugh.
These teams all just kind of suck.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if a good quarterback on a bad team, and I was arguing with people on Twitter about this yesterday, about if the quarterback makes the team or the team makes the quarterback or vice versa, and I do think there's examples that can speak to both ends of the argument, but I also think there are more examples that I remember growing up of good quarterbacks on legitimately bad teams. The first one I always think of is someone like Archie Manning, who was maybe even a little bit before my time, but who you knew about because he was this Hall of Fame quarterback who never won anything, and the Saints teams were always bad. There was other guys like Fouts, you know, or
yep.
What was the guy in the Cardinals who I kind of liked, but they were always really bad. Lomax, remember him?
Yeah, Neil Lomax.
Lomax. He was a two-time Pro Bowler. Like, there was some talent at quarterback and just terrible, terrible teams. So you never really knew about them. They never became big stars or big names. I think later on, you know, there was maybe, I don't know, if Mark Brunell is a good example. I know he made a couple of playoff runs, but there's other guys like that who I think in some way, Tarkenton, guys that were kind of underrated, and the teams they were on were never good, but they always put up good numbers. And I think that that's right now, my biggest fear is that that's the lane and the road that you see Drake May going down right now. A good quarterback on a bad team who's good and can put up numbers and will be recognized for all the things that he's doing. Justin Herbert's kind of on that track
he's
right now.
He's definitely on
he's
that track.
He's right on that track. Very talented, immensely talented. No one denies that. Had a bunch of offensive weapons, never got anywhere. Now he's got this defensive coach and what's his face? The kid from Georgia. Little white guy who's having this great
Vlad
season. McConkey. Thank you very much.
Fitzy's in love with him.
You're going to rue the day.
you didn't draft Ladd McConkey. And I was like, that so fits the character of Fitzy.
Oh, totally, yeah. And I liked McConkey coming out of school, but I wasn't banging down the door to draft him. Either way, he looks like he could be the steal of this draft in those second-round wide receivers. Either way, Herbert's another good example of that. And there's not really as many now, I think,
there
as there
aren't
were before.
Now.
Now a good quarterback, generally, they put a team around him and that's that.
Or he's just good enough to...
To elevate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes,
and
too.
And that's why I think I don't have the fear or the concern that you do with every... Because I agree with you. The roster kind of stinks.
Yeah.
But I think in this day and age, if you have... So in the last 2 days, we've heard Josh Allen 2.0, mm-hmm. but from a lot of people, and we've heard Herbert Plus, we've heard Roethlisberger. If all these people that supposedly are football experts know what the hell they're talking about, you're going to be fine. Because in this day and age, if you have those guys, you usually win.
Yeah.
Herbert is an example, mm-hmm. counter, but I think most people, I'm setting something up here, but most people think that coach was a boob and the reason they shrunk was the coach.
Right.
And then most texters would say, what about our coach, Andy? We'll find out.
We'll see.
And then you have to move on and find an adult like Harbaugh, mm-hmm. like you hope they are doing there. But I think in this day, if you have a true franchise quarterback, if you have a top 10 quarterback, you're generally among the top 10 or 12 teams in the league just because the position is that important and it sways seemingly every game.
Yeah. By the way, Archie Manning's not in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Saints Hall of Fame, but he's not in the actual NFL Hall of Fame. My bad. I thought he was. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame, too. I thought he was in the main one as well. And he did have good numbers with the Saints. But again, he was kind of before my time. And yeah, so there you are. Either way, that's sort of my point, is that, you know, someone like a Boomer Esiason. You know, Boomer Esiason, when I was a kid, he went to that one Super Bowl with the Bengals, but, like, was kind of, you know, a really good quarterback, but never quite could get there, and he never wanted the Super Bowl, and it was just sort of one of those things. He wasn't
Bernie Kosar.
Kosar's another one. Sims won, but I kind of consider Sims like that, too. Like, he was good, not great. And, you know, there's other examples of
Dan
guys.
Marino
from the,
didn't.
Marino's true, but Marino's considered, like, one of the greatest ever, which is a little bit different. But
yeah,
I think
he never won.
He didn't win. That's true. But he was never considered underrated, right? Like, I think that could be Drake May. You're a good quarterback on a bad team. You suddenly become underrated. That could be the path that he
I also just
on.
Think the era we live in changes it.
Yeah.
You see every play.
Right.
Like, in the old days, you might not
you
have seen any
guys,
of Drake
yeah.
May's plays. Like, they were a stat line. Oh, Drake May completed X number of passes. Like, was his stat line impressive on Sunday? Yeah, I mean, he ran and he threw, I guess. But what wowed people was the visual of a guy bouncing around for 11.82 seconds before he throws a touchdown pass.
Right.
So I think the nature of the social media clips, my recruiting videos, they work
right.
on everybody. They work on fans, they work on media, and they work on, hopefully, opposing elite players that want to come to New England and say yes to the bag that Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo will give out.
Right. 617-779-7937. Do I believe that they're going to give out a bag? No, I don't, actually.
Lots of little bags?
Maybe a lot of little bags. You might see some little tiny bags.
Little sandwich Ziplocs.
Yeah.
Here.
little dime bags, maybe.
Easy. It's always back to drugs with this guy.
Go to the phones.
It's always back to drugs.
You're the one voting for drugs.
I voted against the drugs.
Oh, yeah. You're a narc voter against
I'm a hardo.
Brendan's in the car. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, guys. I just have a question, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
How come we want to trade Jalen Polk when he's just a rookie? That's my only question. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye, Brendan. I'll tell you why. Because he's the worst receiver in the league. By some stats.
You sure about that?
By some metrics, he's 128th out of 128. That was being passed around. I'll go and actually find it. I was joking when I was talking about trading Jalen Polk. I agree. He's a rookie, and you at least give him to the end of the season. But I do think in some cases, you know, in the Patriots in general, if you're a Patriots fan, you definitely know. By the end of the rookie year, is this guy going to be able to play? Is he going to be anything? And sometimes you think he will be, and you're wrong. But when he's not, you know he's not.
And
you saw that recently with Harry. You saw it with Thornton. You're seeing it now with Polk. Like, I think it's pretty clear.
And it's not just physical.
Right.
If it were just physical, I'd say, well, he's going to get up to speed. He's going to blah. Like, sort of the attitude and the way he's fit in or not really fit in is also concerning. If I could get a second-round pick for Jalen Polk, if I could just get my money back, basically.
Yeah.
You know, my buyouts on FanDuel. By the way, they're trying to buy me out of my Saquon Barkley offensive player
of the
year
bet. Are they?
They're
trying to buy me out of my Andy Reid coach of the year bet, too. I got a lot. I'm considering it. I'm considering
really?
It because I'm looking at a good payout right now.
Really?
Yeah, and it's coach of the year, so you never know what's going to happen. But as long as they stay undefeated and Mahomes isn't that good, I think I can hit this.
So would you take the buyout on Jalen Polk? If somebody offered you, let's say they offered you a later second round pick than you used, like, or you assume, like the Chiefs.
Second round pick for Jalen Polk right now?
Yeah. So you're getting your money back,
absolutely,
basically.
Absolutely.
You're returning. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I
would
thought
too.
You were going to say,
what about a third?
Like a fifth or something. And even then, I
see, that's tough. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, listen.
Because I liked him. Again, I liked him. So I got to fall back on my scouting, the guys that evaluated him at Washington, the local scout, the regional scout, the area, like everybody. How did we get this so wrong, or do you think we didn't get it wrong and he'll be fine next year?
Chad Graff wrote this in The Athletic. The early returns from Polk, they rank him as the – this is Pro Football Focus, which, again, suits the argument.
Yep.
They rank him as the league's worst wide receiver. Among 128 wide receivers with at least 10 targets, Polk is 128th in Pro Football Focus's rankings. 128th in yards after the catch per reception, 127th in yards per route run,
he beat
and
somebody.
126th out of 126 receivers at separation when targeted. That's according to Next Gen Stats. That's, I mean, it's one thing when you miss on a guy, right? You draft someone in the second round and they don't end up being what you expected them to be. The Patriots, when they go for these wide receivers, end up with the biggest whiffs in the entire draft. It's unbelievable. Like, N'Keal Harry was the biggest whiff in that draft.
Yes.
Thornton, as far as wide receivers go, was probably the biggest whiff at wide receiver in his draft. And Polk's looking like the exact same thing. I mean, this is...
It's almost like they need to fade their own draft picks at
I
wide
know.
Receiver.
It's
just like, if you like him, don't take him. If you don't like him, take him and see what happens.
Yeah.
Roll the dice.
Costanza yourself. Costanza yep. your own picks. 617-779-7937. The Celtics... taking care of business on the road. They got Steve Kerr and the Warriors tomorrow, and they're doing it all without Jaylen Brown. We'll discuss next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.